To be in Luke 2 this morning. And Luke 2 is the passage that we traditionally would read on Christmas morning as a family. Of course, I left before everyone else was around today, but we haven't done that. I just thought we would wait until this morning and just read it together as a church family. Luke 2, Christmas. Of course, this time of year, remember that Jesus Christ came to earth, and you may hear questions. We talked about it last week, the true meaning of Christmas. If you've been here a while, you notice some of these pictures. I kind of use the same ones every year. These things just remind me of Christmas and different experiences throughout my life. Ideas that we think about at Christmas time, love, family, and just the different things that have happened throughout our lives. Some people, this time of year, these holiday seasons and things can be a little bit sad. And we went to be with my dad and Edie last night and spent a little time with them. And that was a wonderful time. We went over to the Christmas Eve service at Calvary. And it was great to see some of our old friends and church family from there and spend some time together. And that was just a wonderful thing. But Pastor Hess talked much about that, you know, this time of year can be also sad. You remember those that have died or different things that have happened on Christmas time. And certainly for me, that's just very real. This is the second Christmas without my mother, but she died, of course, in the fall, a little over a year ago. And so this is really the first one where it's really kind of sunk in, you know, and just I imagine, in talking to so many people, that never really goes away. I mean, even older friends that I have, they would say the same thing. Holidays bring those things to your memory, to your mind, family members that you've lost and things. And so just a lot that Christmas can mean to us and how it affects our lives. It's a very special and important time. And ultimately, though, for us, as people that know Jesus Christ as Savior, what we want to focus on this morning, and even as we look at this, the glory of Luke 2, and think about just all that's going on in there, to remember that this is what we come here for, to celebrate, to remember why we even commemorate this time is because of Jesus Christ. Because God came in the form of a baby a little over 2,000 years ago with a specific purpose. So let's have a little family time this morning. We're not going to get around the tree, but let's look at this passage together. Let's read this Luke 2. I'll read it. You can follow along. It'll be up there. You can follow along in your own copy of the scriptures if you'd like. Follow with me. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And when the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying God, praising God for all they had seen and heard as it had been told them. Let's pray once again as we just think about Christmas and think about this message and the scriptures of the coming of Christ and all the things that surrounded his coming as a baby. Lord, thank you once again for the glorious, spectacular, humble way that you chose to come into this world. We certainly couldn't miss that your coming is unique, born of the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin, heralded by angels, your glory shown around, the news immediately shared by faithful shepherds concerning all that you had shown to them. Coming to an insignificant place out of the way, born to a humble family, not born to the royal palace, is very unique and an awesome and amazing thing. And God, I just pray you'd focus our hearts and minds on some of the glorious truths that you want us to take with us today and to be able to be encouraged and to grow in our faith in Jesus Christ as we study your word. In his glorious and wonderful name we pray. Well, of course, after reading that text, kind of an obvious statement, the coming of Jesus Christ was miraculous. The birth of Jesus was miraculous. And very easy to see in this text, that's really part of the point. It was something that you couldn't miss. It was no ordinary child coming into the world. The virgin birth, of course, very important. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. She call his name Emmanuel. Some people want to discount that and say that it doesn't matter. Even there's some current controversy going around. Some people have said, oh, it doesn't matter. And some people want to say, well, it couldn't happen. But that's the point. It's the point it couldn't happen. God is the creator. A miracle means something that's not normal. And that's what's going on with Jesus there. The virgin, someone who has not known a man, shall conceive. And so Jesus coming fulfills this prophecy in Isaiah 7:14. He was born of Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Miraculous birth. Angels, as we saw in our text today, heralded his coming. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were filled with great fear, as you see there. And the angel gives them a message, and they praise God, and a whole bunch of them show up around the shepherds there. Imagine that with me. I mean, we think about these things. Christmas time comes every year. Like I said, our family reads this passage every year together. But just imagine, just use your imagination a little bit, and go back to that time with me. Here are shepherds, and Bethlehem is where they kept the sheepfolds, where they would raise the sacrificial lambs. And so there were a lot of sheep around there. And these shepherds are out. That's a great job, right? You got the night shift shepherd job. Think about that, right? You're out there in the field, and you're taking care of the sheep. And it's just kind of a normal night. Nothing really going on. You got some other shepherds there with you. And then all of a sudden, an amazing bright light, right? It's not normal. They didn't have electricity. They didn't have any way to do that. And then there's an angel of the Lord, and they didn't miss that either, did they? I mean, this was, they could tell. They knew this was the angel of the Lord appears. And he gives them a message. God is doing something awesome tonight. I'm telling you about it first. He's sending his son, a savior, into the world. You can go into Bethlehem and you'll find, here's the sign, you're going to find this baby in a manger. It's not normal. You don't go and have a baby in a cave full of animals. You're going to find him there, and this is the Son of God. And then all of a sudden, an entire, he calls it a host, a lot of angels appear, all right, all around them. And they start praising God together. It's almost like there's this heavenly chorus. Glory to God in the highest. And peace on earth among those whom God is pleased with. Can you imagine that? What that would be like? I mean, that is not a normal night of shepherding out on the fields of Bethlehem, all right? Amen? And they were like, they got up, forget about the sheep, let's go find out what God has done. right? And they're off. And they go in and they find, just like the angels told them, of course, right? There he is. It's a good night, right? I think they remembered that, do you? Hey, how was your night yesterday? You know, the day shift comes on. How was your night? Well, let me tell you about that. Shepherds went out. They were faithful witnesses, by the way. And we're not really talking about that this morning, weren't they? They immediately went out and told them all the things that the Lord had told them. They were faithful witnesses. They went right out. Angels heralded his birth. That doesn't happen all the time. It's not a normal birth in any way. Conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin, angels heralded. They told of his coming. They were the heralds for him. They praised God. His birth fulfilled many prophecies. The manner of his birth, lowly and in a stable. The place of his birth, Bethlehem of all things. Micah 5:2 tells us, "You, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth the one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient of days." So the prophet Micah foretold that Jesus would come. He would be born in Bethlehem, which is interesting because he would also have to be a Nazarite. He came from Nazareth, and all of those things that we saw in Luke 2 that God put together to bring his family from Nazareth to Bethlehem to be born. The parents that he was born to were specific. He had to be born through the line of David so that his genealogy was fulfilled prophecy. And he told that David that he would send the Messiah through his line. And even the name of Jesus Christ is fulfilled prophecy. She shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from his sins. You see, this is before, this text here is before Jesus was born. They're being told that the child that would be born of Mary was to be called salvation. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. So fulfilled prophecy, his birth. And think about how miraculous that is. You know, who can do that? Who can pull off fulfilled prophecy today? Can't be done. And that's the point of Jesus' coming. This is no normal person, no normal birth, of course. And only God would do that. You know, he didn't want people to be confused. He wanted to know, look, I'm doing something great. Here's what I'm doing. Here's how I'm doing it. Here's how I'm sending my son. The birth of Jesus Christ reveals God to us as well. And from just those miraculous aspects of his birth, we can know or be encouraged in our faith that God is sovereign. God is sovereign over all things, completely in control. Now think about that reading in Luke 2 with me today. How it displays the complete sovereignty of God. And Luke starts it out as a historian and he says, here's some stuff that happened under Quirinius, right? He was governor. Here's some things that happened when this Caesar was in charge in Rome. And he's given us the historical evidence of when these things happened. And then this Caesar, he makes a census. Okay? And why would he do that? Well, he did that to get taxes and to make sure that they were getting paid and all those kind of things. But why would he do that right then? Now think about this. Now this family, they're out of Nazareth, they're making a living, they're having their life and everything. Now all of a sudden, they have to be uprooted and they have to move, they have to walk. And they did move there too for several years. They had to walk and move to Bethlehem. And here's what the sovereignty of God interacts with the experience of man. Caesar was great, wasn't he? Great ruler. Who knows? He ruled most of the known world. This is a great, and any person, you do not mess with Caesar. That's your head, alright? This account in Luke 2 is telling us this. Caesar's just a little guy. God is the great God, and he just directs the heart of the king any way he wants to. And God says, Caesar, here's right now when you're going to need to make a census of the entire world. Why? Because my son is going to come from Nazareth and be born in Bethlehem. You're going to do that, Caesar. God is sovereign. God works out his plan. He puts all of these things together. He's in control of Caesar's. He's in control of Joseph's. He's in control of angels, right? angels, go herald the birth of my son. Yes, Lord. Jesus had to be from Nazareth. He went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so it was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. He had to be called out of Egypt. It's not in our text today. Out of Egypt I have called my son, but because of Herod, the family would move down to Egypt, and then they would be called back out of Egypt. God put that together. All the politics of the day God used to fulfill his plan. The birth of Jesus reveals God to us, his sovereignty and his power as well. Caesar looked powerful in the world and Joseph looked insignificant. Octavian Octavius, the nephew of Julius Caesar, was likely the Caesar at this time, named himself Augustus, which means high one or exalted one. Think about the arrogance, by the way, right? Hey, you know what? I'm going to name myself Awesome. Call me Awesome. Man, that's arrogant, isn't it? See, he saw himself as great. People say he was one of the greatest politicians, statesmen, leader ever, certainly in the Roman Empire. You see in this account, little tiny Bethlehem versus big Rome. You see little Israel versus the big Roman Empire. But actually what we see there is the power of God. And God was, I think it's just meant, and God told Abraham this, I didn't choose you because you're great, you are nothing. I think that's what we're supposed to see on Christmas from this coming of Christ. That all of those aspects of Jesus' birth were insignificant. Bethlehem is poor family, out of the way place. Israel, they were nothing. And all of these things, God took the great, moved them however he wanted to put what he was doing on display in the less, in the weak, in the little. And that's what we see here. We don't see great Rome dominating little Israel. We see great God moving little tiny Rome any way that he wants to, little tiny Caesar any way that he wants to. God's power is godness. He works out his own plan. He does it. He brings it about. The sovereignty of God can give us peace in these troubling times that we live in. And when you see crazy things in the world, remember God is in control. When Christmas rolls around every year, just rejoice. God is in control. And just like it would be inconceivable for anyone in their day to think that somehow anyone was greater than the amazing, powerful Roman Empire and their incredibly powerful Caesar. He was just a little guy. He was a little guy. It's the same God. Our world seems out of control and politicians and governments seem powerful. There's a little guy. There's little. We have a great God. He's working out his plan. His plan came to pass, just like we said, didn't it? Christmas Day, 2,000 years ago. We can have confidence today that that same God is working out his plan today. He gives us peace. That's why this is a season where we talk about peace a lot. God was working to save his people. He's working to glorify himself through his plan of redemption. God is too great to not be able to pull his plan apart about. He's too good to be unkind, too wise to make a mistake. And he's in control of all things. That's what this story, this account in Luke 2 reveals to us about God. I love this one. The king's heart is a stream of water, and the hand of the Lord, he turns it wherever he will. Every year, as I read through the whole Bible, every year I come to the minor prophets. In one sense, at the end of this time of year, in one sense you could go, man, that's a hard read. There's judgment all in there. It's the end of the kingdom, and God's just warning him and warning him and warning him. Come on, wake up, guys. And he keeps sending these prophets, and they're rejecting him, and they're killing some of them, and they're doing all these things. You could say that's a hard read. But I think, to me, it's a glorious read. Because God is sitting there and he's telling them, you need to repent and you need to change and you need to follow me and accept my will. And every single time God sends that message, he also says, because I'm going to redeem all of this. I'm going to fix all of this. You're going to be saved. Salvation is going to come. that it's going to be made right every single time he says that. And then the prophets, as they're prophesying, because they've gotten this glimpse of God, just like this text tells us, the king's heart, he turns it however he wants to. And he says, the Lord appeared, the mountains fled away from him. You know, you go to the mountains and you look at those, if you've ever been there, you look at those and you say, whoa. You know, have you ever climbed a mountain? How many people have? The mountains fled away. The oceans, they dried up. The sea trembled when the Lord appeared. That's what the prophets say. A little guy, the king, God just turns him like a stream of water any way that he wants to. So this time of year reminds us, be confident that the great God that we serve, he's going to do his plan. He has the power to do it. He has the wisdom to do it. He has the goodness to do it. He's going to make it all happen just like he did in the coming of Jesus Christ. God's grace. You know, one of the things I'm reminded of because I'm studying Revelation for January, which will be starting in 2 weeks. Very excited about that. The book of Revelation, we're going to go through that systematically, start to finish. And what an exciting study that is. And one of the things that I'm excited about is, and I haven't really planned next Christmas, but we may look at Revelation next Christmas. Because there, Christmas to me is Jesus' first coming. Think about this. He's coming again. Isn't that awesome? You think about that? The birth of Jesus Christ demonstrates God's grace. And it's not enough for us as humans to stop at the glory and majesty and amazing nature of Christ coming and laying in a manger as a baby in his humble birth. Because he also is God in the flesh. He came for a reason, didn't he? He came to give us God's grace, to die for our sins. So first of all, let's just think through a few things this morning. God's grace displayed in the humility and poverty of Jesus' birth. He was born in Judea, a backwater province of the Roman Empire. He was born to the house of David, which was nothing at their time. Born to Joseph, a small man from a small town. Married a very young girl who was also a nobody at the time. Shepherds were chosen as the first one to hear the good news. Isn't that amazing to think about? He didn't deliver the angels to the king. Delivered them to the shepherds. The night shift even, right? And the night shift shepherds were the first ones to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Pretty stunning. The lowliest of the lowly. Think about this, that Jesus Christ subjected himself to the entire birth process. I mean, that he allowed himself to be conceived by the Holy Spirit, to live in the womb of a person and be born an actual baby. That's stunning. Isn't that stunning? That's the grace of God, the humility and poverty of Jesus' birth. He could have came any way he wanted to, and he could have ruled, but he didn't. He came lowly and humble, came on a mission. The grace of God. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. He left glory, became a real man, born into a poor family, a poor nation, a poor life. Couldn't even find a hotel room on the night of his birth. That's something. Couldn't even find a hotel room. Had to go and live in a, be born in a cave. His whole life was like that. Isn't that tragic? It was God's plan, but isn't that sad to think about humanly? What if Jesus had been born 2016 America? Think about how radically different his life would have been. He would have lacked nothing. He would have lacked nothing. The poorest of the poor of us lacks nothing in this country. In their day, you didn't know if you were going to get food for sure. Right? He was born into that world, into that time. And such a lowly, humble birth. Couldn't even find a hotel on the night of his birth, and he did it all for us. That's grace. Isn't that amazing to think about? This is what God was willing to subject himself to. And in simple terms, the verse here says, he made himself poor so that we could become rich. Wow, what a God. The grace of God, that's what grace means. Jesus identifies with us. He identifies with us. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. You know, just think about how glorious the grace of God comes to us in that. If Jesus had come as reigning king, or been born into a palace, whatever, none of us here, even though we've got it very, very good, very, very well off, we couldn't identify with that Jesus, right? Oh yeah, all right, he's one of them. He's one of the pretty people. He was born in the palace. He was rich, you know. He didn't do that. He came so that he could connect with and identify with the lowliest of the lowly. So he identifies with us, and he shows us that he knows our experience. He knows what it's like to live here. He sympathizes with our weakness. He was subjected to temptation in every way, just like we are. He knows what we struggle with, what it feels like. He knows the desires and thoughts of our heart. He knows what it's like to live in a broken world. And he knows what it's like to be affected by the curse of sin. He experienced death in his life. He saw sickness all around him as he ministered. He knows all of those things. He identifies with us because we are lonely. It's very likely that none of us here will ever be great in the world's eyes. None of us will ever have that place of prominence or that position of greatness. Jesus knows what it's like to be one of us. The carpenter's son knows what it's like to be like you. That's a wonderful truth. The grace of God. Ultimately, Jesus Christ came to die for our sins. That's the ultimate demonstration of the grace of God. That he, being rich, became poor. He became a real man. Why would he become a real man? To die for the sins of mankind, he had to be a real man. He had to be our substitute sacrifice. That's why he came at the time when the lambs were being born. They were born in Bethlehem for the sacrifices in the temple. And it was a real picture for us, that sacrificial system of the Old Testament where the lambs had to die during the Passover. That sacrificial system was prefiguring or pointing ahead to that the ultimate Lamb of God would come, Jesus. And so as he was born in that manger, he came for a singular purpose. He came so that he would die for the sins of the world. That's the grace of God. None of us deserved it. None of us were good enough. That's the point. He came to die for our sins. Christmas time demonstrates that. The true meaning of Christmas. There are a lot of things that are going on at Christmas time, and you could describe meaning to all of them, and that's fine. But really, in reality, it's about God becoming flesh. A real person, but not ordinary. Amen. A real man, but not normal, not common. A miraculous birth, proof that he is God, a humble birth to identify with us. Only God can pull off a package like that in one person. Jesus coming to save us, to die for the sins of the world, so he could die on the cross. He had to do it, as I said, as a real man, because he was dying for the sins of mankind. A substitute in our place, paying for our penalty on the cross in his own body. And that's the true meaning of Christmas. Jesus came, as John read this morning, as the ultimate gift. The ultimate gift. The gift to pay our penalty. We owe a penalty, a debt, because we have sinned against God. And Jesus came to answer that greatest problem, sin problem. I don't know where you're at in life. And wherever you're at, wherever you may be facing, struggling, maybe it's an easy time in life for you. Maybe things are going well. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's difficult for you. Maybe things get you down. Maybe, you know, the turmoil of our country or whatever and all those different kinds of things. Take hope with me today, though. Take hope with me today. Really, the only problem or there's a lot of little problems. Maybe the only problem that we have as people is that we are separated from God. That's the only problem we really have. We're born into this world that's broken, and we are sinners. We have sinned. That is a problem. Because this life, although it matters and it's important, it is so short. It is so short. When you get to the end of this life, it's not going to matter what you accomplished, what you did. It's not going to matter what you had or what you experienced or what you felt or who you knew. Who you were in this world, none of that is going to matter. The only thing that's going to matter is your problem of sin answered? Have you taken care of it? Is it solved? That's all that's going to matter. The bad news is we can't do anything about it. Right? God has done something about it. God has answered, taken care of our biggest problem, really our only problem, by sending Jesus Christ to come and die for us. That's good news this morning. God took care of our problem. He solved our problem. Now, all those other problems that we have in this world, they're real. Amen? They're real. We feel them. But they're little problems. It's like little Caesar. They're little problems. Take hope in that today, that Christ has died for your sins. In Christ, if you know Him as your Savior, you are free. You are accepted by God. You're forgiven. He looks at you and He sees a child. He loves you. He's working in your life. He cares for you. He's providing for you. God has answered your biggest problem. That's the true meaning of Christmas. Jesus came, God in the flesh, to take care of our biggest problem, to deliver us from the curse of sin. What an amazing thing. He delivers the ultimate present to us, freedom from sin and salvation, freedom from the debt of sin and free gift of salvation to us, answering our sin problem. So the response for us this morning, then, on Christmas morning, what a beautiful time to reflect on these things. One, if you don't know for sure that you are right with God, today is a beautiful day to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's a beautiful day to do that. The Bible tells us, behold, today is the day of salvation. That's every day. It'd be easy to remember when you came to know Christ, wouldn't it? That was 2016 Christmas morning, right? That God opened my eyes to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, to recognize that my biggest problem, sin, has been taken care of on the cross of Calvary. And I just repented of my sin and said, God, forgive me. I love you. Please be my Savior. And I embraced Jesus. I yielded to Jesus. I embraced Him and accepted His sacrifice on my behalf. Embrace Him. Make much of Jesus Christ today. Another good application for us. It's easy, and I think it's easy for all of us, and we're all in different places and different stages of life, but it's easy to get caught up in American Christmas, isn't it? It really is. It's easy to get caught up in American Christmas, to make much of the stores and the gifts, even family time. Be sure that Jesus is first in your Christmas tradition, your Christmas experience. Of all days, you wake up on Christmas morning and say, Lord, I know... Thank you. This is the day we commemorate you coming as a baby. Thank you for coming. And in your conversations, what a great time. And you go around our world, everything is Christmas. Someone posted a picture yesterday that it's already Valentine's season. The stores got the Valentine's candy out. And they can't get the next holiday fast enough. But this is an amazing time to be able to talk about Jesus. Right? I mean, we have on our calendar Christmas. Right? I mean, let's talk about Jesus. This is the time to talk about it. The Christ of Christmas. He came. Make much of Him. Be like those shepherds. Praise Christ publicly. Talk about Him. Be a faithful witness. Make much of Jesus in your life. I'm just continually thinking of that in my own life. And many times convicted and many times just constantly working on that the rest of the things in my life are at best tertiary. They just are. They're just surface things that are out on the edge of my life. They're not unimportant, but they're really seriously not important. What am I doing that loves people, serves people, and glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ? What am I doing every day? How am I doing putting the great name of my great God on display? It was easy for those shepherds that morning, amen? It was easy for them. The glory of God appears behind them. The heavenly hosts, a multitude come on praising God. That fired those guys up, and they went out, and the word spread all around the region. Who did that? The night shift shepherds. Let's be like them, amen? Faithful witnesses, making much about Jesus Christ in our life. celebrating the true meaning of Christmas, the wonderful news. Luke 1, behold, you will conceive in your womb, bear a son, you shall call his name Jesus. She shall bear a son, you shall call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. He's our Savior. His name means salvation. Isaiah 9 to close. For unto us a child is born. To us a son is given. And we'll talk more about this in our study of Revelation, certainly, as we progress through that, what some of these texts mean. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. That's a good one for this year, amen? There is a future coming when the government's going to be perfect. Man, I can't wait, amen? I can't wait. That's going to be awesome. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Wow. That's awesome to think about. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Think about that. God is fired up to ultimately establish his kingdom in Christ. Isn't that awesome? The zeal of the Lord will do this. Even when Christ came, the Son is given. As the zeal of the Lord, God is excited to answer our problem of sin and to do his will. Awesome. Let's have that same zeal as his people. Pray with me. Oh God, fire us up with your zeal. The coming of Christ is an amazing thing. None of us would even imagine how you wow. So miraculously. So that we couldn't miss that it was you doing what you were doing. We're so thankful, supremely thankful, Lord, that Christ has come. That he came on a rescue mission and that through him we're delivered, we're redeemed, we're saved by his sacrifice. God, just use your word in our hearts and lives today. Encourage us, fill us with joy and hope, joy and peace and hope of this season. And God, make us faithful witnesses. Give us fruit, as Paul prayed for Philemon. Give us fruit as we share your good news, as we proclaim, herald the coming of Christ, his rescue mission. And fill us with a spirit of joy together as we're faithful to you and as we grow knowing you, as we trust in you, and as we see your mighty hand working out your perfect plan in our world and our lives daily, as we ultimately look forward, God, to the time when your government is fully, firmly, permanently established in this world. And so, Lord, come quickly, come again, so that we can add that second coming to our calendar and remember and rejoice with you forever. In Jesus' name.